Hello, friends. We are on Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 18, and we're in the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, and we were dealing with what is the manner in which high initiates are drawn onto these cosmic paths. And here it talks about the realization of cosmic need, and elsewhere it talked about according to their qualities and their attainments. These are not ray paths, apparently, although there is a tendency for certain ray types to tread certain of the paths. For instance, what they call the fifth ray people, or those whose monads are on the fifth ray, often tend to tread the path of magnetic work, and first and second ray masters on the ray path, and maybe those trained by the Mahachohan on the path of the planetary logoi, but they are not, strictly speaking, ray paths per se. As to the detailed work of those who choose until release to stay on Earth and work in or with the hierarchy, is there more that I can tell you, he says, because basically that's what all of his work is about. And even if we were to begin studying in Letters on Occult Meditation, we would learn of the work of the masters, and in Initiation Human and Solar, we would learn of the work of the hierarchy. From the very beginning, he has laid out important material about the work on the path of Earth service. And I guess everyone, all graduating masters, will have a chance for quite a lengthy time before the sixth initiation to work with the spiritual hierarchy at this type of service. You know much anent this subject, for I have given much, far more than has ever been given before. Indeed, that is true. I have not dealt with the work of the hierarchy in relation to evolutions other than the human for two reasons. One, your unfoldment is still such that you do not and cannot yet include or register the consciousness or nature of the subhuman kingdoms. There's some specialized work that's going on along this line. And the work done by the hierarchy in those kingdoms is largely carried forward via humanity and modern scientific development. There are many masters who do not work with the human kingdom at all, but are fully occupied with carrying out the divine will in the other kingdoms. With this work, we have at present no concern. When anyone takes the sixth initiation and makes his decision to follow the path of Earth service, either temporarily at the request of Sanakumara or until the end of the world cycle, he will find himself faced with a secondary decision as to which of the four kingdoms will profitably provide the field of his sacrifice and service. I see here, though I'm focused on this sentence, that the work done by the hierarchy in those kingdoms is largely carried forward via humanity and modern scientific development. So the sciences are somehow very important in this kind of work. I'll just get this done properly, get my red bracket going here, and number 12, okay. So scientific understanding of these kingdoms is very important, and within the scientific community focused on the various kingdoms, progress is being made. As long as humanity does not think that these kingdoms are placed on Earth entirely to fulfill the desires of the human kingdom. We see that with the danger of genetic engineering. It's as if these kingdoms become the playground of certain manipulative minds that do not know or understand a larger plan and the law. So later, when one takes the sixth initiation and makes the decision to follow the path of earth service, one can serve in different kingdoms. Service in various kingdoms is possible later with much more knowledge. So sometimes we think that the path of earth service is aimed entirely at the human kingdom, but DK is explaining to us that it is not so. Now we are given this archaic stanza. It is not short, and we'll see whether we have learned enough in the previous section to offer some thoughts which can serve as hints for the interpretation of this section of the old commentary. The dragon who hideth within the lowest of the sacred three ariseth in his might. In his mouth he holdeth the balances, and in the balances he weigheth the sons of men who upon the field of battle are impaled upon his spear. In the great balance upon which his eyes are fixed, one scale is veiled in fire of vivid green. The other hides itself behind a screen of red. Those sons of men whose note responds not to the note of red enter the scale upon the right-hand side. From thence they pass upon a path which dimly can be seen behind the dragon's form. This path is entered by a fourfold door. The sacred phrases of the sons of light define it thus: the portal of the luminous light which leadeth from the green into the heart of indigo, by that rare fire and richly colored blaze for which no name on earth hath yet been found. Its tone is hidden. The sons of men, and few their number is, enter that door of luminous fire when they surmount the crest of gold which riseth on the dragon's head above the point where gleams the eye of fire. This eye of fire transmits a strong vibration from the triple laws unto a center in the adept's head. This, when aroused, reveals the life that is, the form that shall be, and the work of the two and four. These two are drawn together, their essence blends. The man who seeks this path is then impaled upon the spear and thrust into the fiery light which veils the balance. The mystic process then proceeds and thus is the work of Saturn seen, and thus the consummation is effected. Through Saturn's fateful force, the victor then is swiftly projected to the summit of the crest, and thence to that vibrating disc which guards the fourfold door of luminosity. These words are then committed to the liberated one. He stands triumphant on the speeding disc, and when their utterance has... The door is seen ajar, and from its other side a voice is heard to say, "Son of compassion, master of love and life, the wheel turns all the time for those who battle on the fiery ground beneath the dragon's feet." The first word, having entered on its mission, the victor lifts his head and seeks to utter forth the second word. But as he sounds it forth, he arrests its wide vibration, drawing again its power within his heart. The motion of the disc slows down. The portal of the fiery light opens more widely yet. A form is seen. Unto the master of the fiery heart this form presents three precious jewels. The names are hidden from those sons of men who have not yet attained the dragon's crest. These jewels three give to the master of the fiery heart a portion of the triple force which circulates within the planet's sphere. With eye intent and heart alive, with burning love, the master utters not the final word. He steps from off the disc and turns his lotus feet back to that path he earlier left behind, and from the other side remounts the dragon's crest. Himself a dragon, he now identifies himself with those who seek the beast, and thus he serves, turning his back upon the door of light. He is the offspring of the dragon and serves his time, Unknown and unseen by him, a greater disc becomes apparent, turning unceasingly. He seeth not its movement, for his eyes are on the world he has returned to serve. The disc revolves and brings about, and brings around, before his yet unseeing eye, a greater, wider door. His eye of vision opens, he treads the first great path, yet knows it not. The note that sounds forth from the first great way is yet unheard by him. Its sound is lost in the uprising cry of the children of the lesser dragon. Well, friends, this is difficult, is it not? So all that it is reasonable, you know, this is, I feel this is beyond our comprehension, and Master DK has not interpreted this fully by any means. All we can do here is perhaps suggest some associations which may lead to greater light. And of course, these suggestions may be erroneous. That's the sad part of it. But they may, you know, we have to make an attempt, however faltering, to penetrate some of this ancient lore. And associated ideas can perhaps lead to other associations which are on target for the interpretation. So it's, you know, whether it's foolhardy or necessary, or both foolhardy and necessary, an attempt will be made. And obviously, as one ponders the archaic stanza more and more, more will come to light. Well, the dragon who hideth within the lowest of the sacred three ariseth in his might. Now, it's interesting, you know, there is a connection here. Well, first, something that we can probably deal with. The lowest of the sacred three, you see how blinded this is. This lowest is the first of the three major solar systems. The green system, giving the, expressing through the third ray. Yes, the lowest of the sacred three. Now, and Saturn is connected, of course, Saturn being the principal third ray planet, the third ray monad, and soul probably, of Saturn, has Libra as the sign or constellation through which it expresses hierarchically. Okay, hierarchically, let's see if we can H-I-E-R hierarchical and H-I-E-R-Y, that's going to do it, through which it expresses hierarchically. So in his mouth he holdeth the balances, and this is the sign Libra. Or constellation Libra. And in the balances he weigheth the sons of men, who upon the field of battle, let's just call this the lower worlds, and the service given therein, are impaled upon his spear. They are not free to move away from their commitment to serve him. Now, there's a number of things this sacred three can be. Of course, the sacred three can be the earlier solar system, yes, the lowest of the sacred three. But also, we have the three periodical vehicles. And we have the one about whom naught may be said, and his three divisions, which are, we can call that head, torso, and sub-diaphragmatic. Diaphragmatic. And the dragon can be Draco, and as associated with Kundalini, it still hides as or is not fully released in the one about whom naught may be said. So it's like a Kundalini latent. It's hidden. And it is the base of spine center in the one about whom naught may be said. And so it is in the lowest part of the sacred three divisions. Whatever it is connected with the third aspect of divinity. Ariseth in his might. So in a certain sense, there is the activation of this dragon power, and the dragon has slept in the lowest and now is powerful. So we have to look at cosmic Kundalini here, or a great dragon power now coming into prominence. So he ariseth in his might, in his mouth he holdeth the balances. I'm not sure if there's anything about the mouth per se, but the balances, let's just say that the constellation of the dragon is intimately related to the constellation of Libra. I think we were seeing this a little earlier. We'll look a little higher here and see if we can that was quite a ways ago, wasn't it? Okay. So the attributes, constellation of the dragon, definitely. The constellation of the dragon via Libra. Now these are such great entities that we can only receive anything from them in a much reduced manner. But, you know, from the obvious point of view, the dragon is Draco. So we'll put that down as a possibility. The dragon is Draco, who hideth within the lowest of the sacred three. Well, he was hiding within the, or maybe more manifest within the earlier solar system, yes. But there are three divisions in the one about whom naught may be said, just as there are three divisions in the body of any entity, including man, the head, torso, and all that lies at the base of the spine, and subdiaphragmatically. In his mouth he holdeth the balances. The constellation Libra is intimately connected with that of the dragon, who is the base of spine center of the one about whom naught may be said. And he has arisen in a way in his might, because he is high in the northern polar region, even though he represents the base of the spine center. And in the balances he weigheth the sons of men upon the battlefield, of men who upon the battlefield are impaled upon his spear. Maybe the impaled ones have had a rising of the spear of the spine, and have a sufficient energy condition to fulfill what is required. There is a Libran judgment going on here, and only some are accepted for this path. A small number, we have been told. In the great balance upon which his eyes are fixed, so, you know, from another point of view, his, now, you know, who is the dragon? A great constellational logos. But can Sanat Kumara, or can the logos of our planet represent him in the choosing and guiding of those who will tread this path? In the great balance upon which his eyes are fixed, weighing the sons of men, as it does, it weighing the merit, weighing the occult weight of the sons of men, one scale is veiled in fire of vivid green. This is connected with the third ray, and the other one hides itself behind a screen of red. This is the first ray color. Interestingly, these are complementary colors, and both are related to our Earth, one to the personality ray of the Earth, and the other to the monadic ray. Sorry. Of the Earth. So there is a judgment here occurring, and maybe this is, you know, I just suggest, could be about the selection of those who are to be on this path. You know, we also have to realize that Libra rules the central channel for the man, and maybe has a kundalinic function in relation to the larger being. Libra is a shambolic sign, and one of the major rulers of Shambhala. So the green of Libra, the green of the third ray associates with Libra, and the dragon is connected with the third aspect of divinity, even though it's the base of the spine, is still the third aspect of divinity. And this is the green dragon. It speaks of a kind of power that is related to the matter aspect, to the personality aspect, to the fires of matter. The dragon rules over the rising of the fires of matter, cosmic kundalini, not just systemic kundalini or planetary kundalini, but this is about the kundalini of the one about whom naught may be said. Those sons of men whose note responds not to the note of red enter the scale upon the right-hand side. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of things this could mean. There is a preparation for the next solar system, which will be a red first ray solar system. Also, there's the connection in general with the first ray, the red connection in general with the first ray. So it looks like the right hand side of the scales is given to the third ray and to green. Now when you look at the triangle found in esoteric astrology on page 460, you see something similar. Basically, you see that the red could be correlated with the emanating center. The evocative force is the blue, and the green is on the right-hand side. So when we have a triangle like this, we do see a connection with the sign Libra. Enter the scale upon the right-hand side. After all, this whole stanza or fragment, what is it called here? Stanza. It's called a stanza. This whole stanza is about a work within the third ray realm. Within the third ray realm on a third ray planet, which is not redeemed yet. The dragon really is a great redeemer. Just as Kundalini does redeem the entire energy system and raises matter up into heaven. From thence they pass upon a path which dimly can be seen behind the dragon's form. If they are suitable, they can pass beyond the dragon and tread the path indicated. And this is probably the path of Earth service. But first, you know, the dragon is kind of an angel who guards the way. And it's so interesting, dragons do have the positive reputation of guarding. Treasure and places of power. So from thence they pass upon a path which dimly can be seen behind the dragon's form. So what is the note? Well, it would have to be somehow a strong ray one note responding to red. I don't think we're dealing with the red of desire here. at least a master or a Chohan preparing to go this way would not be afflicted in such a manner. The path is entered by a fourfold door. So this is the luminous fourfold door connected with the with the four identifications, which are related to the four groups of three petals each in the etheric heart center of the solar logos. So this is going to be the path of Earth service. And passing the dragon and being weighed in the balances and having the green note established is important, it seems, to pass the dragon. After all, this is Earth. We're working in the third ray personality of the Earth. Of course, if you think about the real personality of the planetary logos, it includes 18 subplanes, but all of this work is pretty well accomplished within the five lower worlds of a human and superhuman evolution. So a fourfold door, now we've just been told about four final paths, but this is as described in a treatise on cosmic fire just a little earlier in the process. Let's see if we can go to that place. Maybe we can go via the book. It might be easiest that way. So, let's just say archaic stanza. Okay. Okay, archaic stanza. Oh, I see. Well, it should be here. So this is a treatise on cosmic fire. Having a little trouble with the mouse here. And we will fourfold door. The fourfold cross, and this is 1184. And here, the luminous door. Here we go. This is when the adept enters through the luminous door, he has before him four very peculiar and esoteric identifications. This entrance takes place after he has passed the fifth initiation and has demonstrated his fitness so to do through a long period of service in connection with our planetary evolution, having to do basically with the amount of time a master must remain in association with the planet before making his decision. These identifications eventually bring about within the jewel, which is essentially the true spiritual unit, a momentous happening, and are undergone within the monadic consciousness after the transcendence of the atomic sheath. So purely upon the plane of the monad, a sixth-degree initiate is making this decision. These four identifications are connected with the fourfold lotus of the solar logos, or with his 12-petaled heart center, and the lotus is sometimes called the heart of the sun. 12 identifications in all. Okay, so let's see. I think I'll copy this, and we will make of it a little bit of a 1246, okay? And now we'll go on to the next one. The path is entered by a fourfold door, and here this is going to be discussed in the archaic stanza that we are now undertaking. So this was 1246. And we'll put that in for its fourfoldness and make it small so we can keep track. Okay. Yeah, so this will be found in TCF 1246. All right, well, you know, basically trying to give the intuition a time to percolate a little bit. The path is entered by a fourfold door. This is definitely the path of Earth service, and one must be weighed in the balances and not found wanting and found to be resonant, I think, with the color green in order to pass. The sacred phrases of the Sons of Light define it thus. These are high initiates who have passed beyond this door, or who have an overview of the various ways of passing upon the paths of higher evolution. They define it thus: the portal of the luminous light. Remember, what do the adepts gain here? The adepts on this path gain luminosity. And, you know, I'm thinking about the effect of the Kundalini, the effect of the Kundalini on the light radiation of the system in which it works. So it is an illuminator. The portal of the luminous light which leadeth from the green into the heart of indigo, by that rare fire and richly colored blaze for which no name on earth has yet been found. Its tone is hidden. Well, we are making the transition from green, transition from green to indigo blue. And the masters on this path have wise compassion and are first destined for the cosmic astral plane whereon true love is found. So, with respect to the lower or green aspect, they must be weighed so they can pass to the indigo. Maybe this is why those who would respond to the red would not pass this way, but by a different way. Maybe for those with a very powerful first ray, there would not be many on this path, though the heads of the ashrams, the chohans, naturally, would have to be on all the rays, and they are on this path. The portal of the luminous light which leadeth from the green into the heart of indigo. So what is this heart of indigo? This is one way of describing the heart of the sun. Two meanings, really. And here we have the etheric heart center, etheric heart center of the solar logos. The heart of indigo, I suspect, in association with which the four identifications are taken or undergone. So it leadeth from the outer, the green, the objective, from the five lower planes ruled by Atma and the green into the heart of indigo, and that is that heart of indigo is on the monadic plane. the heart of indigo is on the monadic plane, where we would expect to find the heart center of the solar logos, at least by extrapolations from chart 8 of TCF. All right. And which leadeth from the green into the heart of indigo by that rare fire and richly colored blaze, for which no name on earth has yet been found. Now, is this the note of love, or of the heart of the solar logos? Its tone is hidden. Does this mean its tone is unknown, or actually hidden? So, is it the indigo tone? If indigo, then maybe A, or possibly a blue tone, G. And some DK is sometimes called the G, related to violet. But what is the rare fire and richly colored blaze, for which no name on earth? Is it multicolored? This blaze of transmutative transition? This is a blaze of transmutative, transformative transition from the green to the indigo. Does the blaze have many colors? And where does it come from? That is the question. A fire, a type of richly colored fire, makes the transition possible. All right. The love and compassion related to indigo are very essential for the lower dragons of wisdom treading this path. The lesser, he called them lesser dragons of wisdom. He said every master is a lesser dragon of wisdom. Maybe you see, you know, why it's either courageous or foolhardy to enter this kind of material. You know, it just demands every possible significant association that may come to mind, hopefully intuitively to mind, hopefully not leading astray. I'm drinking some green tea right here. It fits well with the dragon of wisdom arising in all his might. But we have to remember something else about the dragon. The dragon is a dragon of cosmic buddhi also, and so is well suited to supervise the transition from the green to the indigo, with which we can associate cosmic buddhi. And the Pleiades are involved here too. They are green. See, both the dragon and the Pleiades, so closely connected with Earth, are expressing both the green and the blue, which is indigo. In other words, the cosmic buddhi is, let's call it, indigo. The different shades of blue, of course, have to be sorted out. Sapphire blue somehow connected with Sanat Kumara. The sons of men, and few their number is, and this is, as Master DK told us, very few take this path, only those who are deemed as necessary by Sanat Kumara, necessary to uphold a progressive planetary process. Enter that door of luminous fire when they surmount the crest of gold which riseth on the dragon's head, above the point where gleams the eye of fire. Well, how can we interpret this? The eye is connected with the fourth initiation. The crest of gold, royal, perhaps with the fifth. Thus, the crest of gold is above. Above the eye of fire. We've been told that as the initiate is taking the fourth initiation, he is beheld by an eye. Is this the eye of fire? Of course, when you think about the eye of fire, you're also reminded of the dark plumage and the eye as the symbol of the fourth, the third unmanifested creative hierarchy under Taurus. So let's look here for this and PLU plumage, dark. And here it is, a bird with dark plumage and with the eye of radiant fire. So there is some possible Taurus connection here, and also possible connection with Aldebaran as the eye of the bull. So plumage dark and an eye of radiant fire, page 1225. TCF 1225, and I know this is slow, but I'm trying to understand it as I go along, and I'm sure you are too. So, to me, you must surmount the crest of gold. I believe what this means is that those who would tread this path must surmount those who would tread this path must surmount the golden sun of mastership. The sun can be the symbol for the fifth degree. And then the sun is that symbol in a way, I think, and the eye the symbol for the fourth degree. So above the point where gleams the eye of fire. See, the dragon also, we have to deal with the lesser dragon who is going to allow the initiate to tread this path from another point of view. The planetary logos is a dragon of wisdom, and must judge whether passage is possible. Sanat Kumara, as the planetary logos, must decide which ones, and there are few, can tread this path. The eye of fire. Well, he is deemed worthy, and he has risen. So he has risen within the initiations possible within our Dragon of Wisdom, the planetary logos, to a place where he can enter the luminous door. It seems, you know, we can't really come to terms with Draco as a constellation. It's just incredible in its grandeur and its power. But there are lesser reflections. I mean, after all, it is a cosmic logos, the vehicle of a cosmic logos, and it is cosmic kundalini, or associated with that, in the one about whom naught may be said. But in terms of our lesser Dragon of Wisdom, we can come to terms with that. So there is a reflection of the greater Dragon and Libra here on our planet, and the Libran decision which has to be made. It's so interesting that we're dealing here with events that occur when the great decision is made. So we are dealing with events which occur when the great decision is made. So that takes us to this, the sixth initiation is ruled by Ray 3 and Libra. So I think we can see the connection here. Okay, this is 12. All right. I think we have to make sure that we stay in that font or that size of font. So there must be an achievement here. One is not really passing before the eye of Draco, the cosmic logos, but of a lesser dragon. Our planetary logos is a lesser dragon, and the planet Saturn is a lesser dragon, so connected with the factor of decision. So they surmount the crest of gold which riseth on the dragon's head, and I assume, you know, this has to be sort of a crest, is some kind of a crown, perhaps. Some kind of crown, or maybe it is a kind of disc. But anyway, it suggests a high spiritual status. Okay. The eye of fire transmits a strong vibration from the triple laws, 3, 3, and 3. They maybe have 9. Each one has 3 aspects, unto a center in the adept's head. When this is aroused, this when aroused reveals the life that is, the form that shall be, and the united work of the 2 and 4. Well, this may be too obscure for me to interpret. The eye of fire transmits a strong vibration from the triple laws, and these have to be high beings if connected with the earth, and the third aspect, then can they be the Buddhas of activity, unto a center in the adept's head. Now, is this a base of spine center in the head, or is this a central eye, which is an eye of revelation? There is much to the head is like the it's kind of a macrocosm for the whole body in a way, or it has essentialized within it everything that is found in the body. So the part of the head, the center in the head, which corresponds to the dragon, is the Alta Major center. It is a third ray center, but it has some kind of power, which is kundalini-like in relation to the head. This center has a kind of power, which suggests the dynamics of kundalini, but it is in the head. Into a center in the Adam's head. This, when aroused, reveals the life that is, the form that shall be, and the work united of the two and four. Now, with the two and four, one possibility is the second manifest creative hierarchy, and the which has been called the prototypes of the monads, and the other is the fourth manifested creative hierarchy, or the human creative hierarchy, the lords of sacrifice. And what else are they called? They are called the lords of sacrifice and the initiates, the human hierarchy. Okay. So who are these high beings? Are these beings beyond our planet altogether? See, any high Dayan Shohan can be called a La, if we can pronounce it that way. Laha, Lahas, La, Lhasa, Lahas. Anyway, Las, I think. It would be good enough for us. And we have to see what aspect of divinity must be aroused in the adept's head. What aspect of divinity is to be aroused in the head of the adept? Earth is a base of spine center for the solar logos, and thus is a correspondence to a dragon, a sleeping dragon, perhaps. So we need the adept on this path must develop what we can call dragon power, and express as a lesser dragon of wisdom. Okay, so these are, you know, associated ideas here. But let's just say that there is a center, is a center in the head of the adept, which is not yet fully aroused. Does it correspond to the kundalini? And is it the Alta Major center? Of course, there's always the possibility of the third eye and so forth, but it reveals the life form and the work united of the two and four, which would be, this is monadic work. The two and four, from this interpretation, represents what we can call monadic work on the plane of buddhi, which is that of the dragon, because it is the plane of love, wisdom. So the two and the four might be two other See, are the maybe these are creative hierarchies. You see, that's the question. Are the two and the four and the four creative hierarchies? Or are they a category of being that has been mentioned? I don't think so. The eye of fire transmits a strong vibration from the triple laws. See, laws is a generic term. We just don't know at what level that is coming. It's a term like angel. It can cover so many factors. Unto a center in the adept's head, and we're wondering whether this has to have some kind of dragon correlation, we might say. A center with a dragon correlation, possibly. Okay. The two are drawn together. The essence blends. Now, we have a dragon. Okay. And we have a man, I think we have a man coming in relation to the dragon, to a dragon, we might say. A would-be lesser dragon, the dragon, and a would-be lesser dragon of wisdom. The two are drawn together. Their essence blends. In other words, the master and the dragon, or his representative, the planetary logos, as a dragon of wisdom. The man who seeks this path is then impaled upon the spear and thrust within the fiery light, which veils the balance. Well, if you're thrust upon a spear, you are fixed with that energy or in that context in which the in which those upon the path of earth service must work. So, you know, when impaled, you do not go anywhere, but are fixed or transfixed, and held within the within this, I suppose, revelatory light, which veils the law of karma or cosmic justice. It veils the balance. The mystic process then proceeds. Presumably it is a process of merging. It is a process of merging whereby in the presence of a greater dragon, the man becomes a full lesser dragon of wisdom. Thus is the work of Saturn seen, and thus the consummation is effected. So Saturn, as the Lord of Karma and Justice, of karma and of justice, is involved in this fiery light. It is as if the man is tested by Saturn. So Saturn is in such close relation, and you know, Saturn is a lesser dragon, and Saturn is so intimately connected with the earth and the redemptive work in lower spheres upon the earth. I was wondering when Saturn would make his appearance. Well, okay, now what we have to do is say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 18A, page 31 of Path of Higher Evolution compilation, and beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, 18B, page 31, same, of the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation.